The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
All right, Damian Woody back here with us because, guys, we got an NFC title game to talk about. Tampa Tom versus that bad man. So here's the question. Neek, let's start with you. Game's on the line. You have to choose. Which quarterback are you taking, Rodgers or Brady?
Well, I can see Damian getting mad already.
I'm waiting on it. Go ahead.
Because you already had your decision made because maybe one of these quarterbacks won you a Super Bowl. You shouldn't even be on the show right now. You don't got on a coat. You don't got on a tie. You're out there looking like Luther Vandross.
He's got a piano behind him, though. He's classy.
I'm so disrespectful. But I do, like you said, Charlie, I got that piano back there, so that makes up for it.
All right, the answer to the question is Aaron Rodgers. I know you're not going to like it, but that's the answer to the question. Like Tom Brady, I understand how great Tom Brady is in those clutch moments, but there's something about familiarity in that situation. In the two-minute drill situation, it is about being comfortable with your teammates, comfortable with your scheme, comfortable with your surroundings. Tom Brady has looked comfortable on and off, but this is his first year there. Aaron Rodgers looks comfortable all the time in that situation. And who's better right now? Like, I know you love Tom Brady. I know he got you a Super Bowl ring and helped you make a lot of money to buy that $50,000 piano behind you. But let's be honest. Tom Brady is not better than Aaron Rodgers right now. You know it and I know it.
Listen, this is just a blasphemous question right here. Of course you know where I'm going. I'm going with Tom Brady. And listen, we all know about, to me, when you're talking about who do you want for one game, it's about championship DNA. I've been on this show many a time talking about Aaron Rodgers is the most talented passer of the football that I have ever seen. I don't think there's any question about that. No question. I know Patrick Mahomes is coming into it, but to me, it's Aaron Rodgers. But that doesn't mean that I want Aaron Rodgers in one game win up in one game wins the whole thing. I'm going with the guy who over a 20 year career has done it year in and year out, game in and game out. And everyone that talked about, most of that time was with Bill Belichick. That is correct. And look what's happened the year after those two have separated. Tom Brady has found his way into the championship game and the New England Patriots. You know, we're at home making a sandwich for the playoffs, okay? This man is a winner. There's no question about that. He's not the most physically talented guy, but the man knows how to win. Why? Because he has those intangibles, that work ethic that has allowed for a sixth-round pick to go out here and strike fear in people when the game is on the line. So, Dominique. Yes, you know where I'm going. I don't even know why they even asked me this question, which quarterback I'm going to take. I'm going to take Tom Brady.
Okay, so now that we're done with you and your Tom Brady tattoo that I'm sure is being covered up by that shirt somewhere, let me explain something to you. Championship, I could attack this in two different ways. So championship DNA, let's just assume that it's a thing. Let's assume it's a thing. I could say that it's not, but okay, let's accept it as a thing. Aaron Rodgers got a championship too. Aaron Rodgers got the same DNA.
Championship.
Okay, either you got it or you don't. Either you got championship DNA or you don't. He clearly has it too. So if it is a thing, saying that all the things that you listed about Tom Brady, all these intangibles, all these championship DNA, all that stuff, Aaron Rodgers got that too, and he got a better arm, and he's more athletic. And he is more comfortable in his offense. That's why I take Tom Brady. Why I take Aaron Rodgers in this situation. Like, I'm not gonna be mad if you stick me with the GOAT. But the GOAT, sometimes at a certain point, he's not the best. He's the greatest, but he's not the best. Oh, they trying to undercut me with these foolish numbers. That is past. That all is way back in the distant history of like a couple years ago.
Dominic, you don't think we've heard these type of things before? Aaron Rodgers is the better athlete. Aaron Rodgers has a better arm. Facts. Aaron Rodgers has more talent on offense. We've heard that for many years as it relates to Tom Brady. Even when Tom Brady was in New England, he never had the most talented offense surrounded by him. But it's about the mentality. You know this. It's the DNA championship that's inside of him. Aaron Rodgers, for all his gifts, has one Super Bowl. One Super Bowl. The greatest talent okay. that we've seen throwing the football okay. has one chip. One okay. chip to on his resume.
Can I ask you a question?
There's been many of people, Neek, that talked about. Has Aaron Rodgers, underachieved throughout his career, considering how great of a talent he is at the quarterback position? So for one game with all of it on the line, I'm taking a guy that's shown me over 20 years.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers probably should have more Super Bowls. But you go back to this point. Are you saying that Aaron Rodgers got lucky and won a Super Bowl? Because either he has this it factor championship DNA or won him a championship, or he don't. You can't keep throwing at me. I understand that Tom Brady has gone to 9 Super Bowls. I understand that he has won 6. Mm. Nobody can compare to that. Mm. He is freaking great. But he is also 43, and he's also in a new system, and he is also not as talented as Aaron Rodgers and not as comfortable right now as Aaron Rodgers. So if I were willing to accept that the only difference between them was championship DNA, Rodgers got it too, because he won one. So what? He don't have enough. He just got a little bit of DNA of championship. He needs some more championship DNA. He needs 6 DNAs. He need a triple helix. Forget the double helix. He need a triple helix of championship DNA for Damian Woody to respect him.
Let me tell you. So, you bring up Tom Brady's age. He's 43. Yeah, we know he's 43. Did he throw for over 4,000 yards? Did he throw for over 40 touchdowns at the age of 43? Has this man shown any sign of slowing down? Is his arm still live right now? And you wouldn't take him in one game if you need to win one game? Come on, Nick. You sound like you hating right now. You sound like you
hating.
Did Tom Brady do something to you?
Yeah, several times. Tom Brady has beaten me several times. He's done a lot to me, actually. Aaron Rodgers has beaten me a couple times, too, so I don't like either of them more than the other. They both get on my darn nerves. However, I'm trying to be practical. this idea, and you're right, Tom Brady's had a great season. Tom Brady has made all people who underestimated him look stupid. What he's doing, he's attacking down the field in a way that we didn't think that a player of his age can do. And that's impressive. That's all fine and good. But there is one question that you haven't answered. So all that other stuff aside, who's better right now?
Aaron Rodgers had a better season. Yeah. I wouldn't take him for one game.
You want the worst quarterback. You want the quarterback who is not as good as the other one for one game. We got one game. Everything's on the line. I want the guy
who's
not as good.
Loyalty.
I want the guy who's shown me over throughout his career. That's the guy I want.
You want the guy whose number you got tattooed on your heart.
Well, we hope to see that tattoo one day or another. Guys, we got to put respect on both these guys' names. They are the OGs. And guess what? They have the oldest combined age of 2 starting quarterbacks in a conference championship. Combined, they are 80 years old, 227 days.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I like that Morgan Freeman-esque narration there in that video package. Guys, back here, Damian, Dominique, let's take a stroll down memory lane, shall we? Back in 2017, the Bills traded their pick, number 10, to the Chiefs, who then went on to draft Patrick Mahomes. And this week, in the two teams squaring off in the AFC Championship game. So, Damian, who do you think is more valuable to their team? Is it Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes?
I think Josh Allen is more valuable to his team, and I know that's kind of crazy for a lot of people to say, considering Patrick Mahomes' brilliance over his young career. But when you look at Josh Allen and what he's been able to do with the Buffalo Bills, his ability to use his legs, you know, whether it's inside or outside the pocket, the improvements that he's made with his accuracy of the football, particularly downfield. And when you look at the Buffalo Bills on offense, this is a team that really doesn't have balance. They don't really try to run the ball. And we've seen that in the playoffs last week, where Buffalo basically abandoned the pass and said, you know what, we're just going to put it all on that young quarterback. We're going to sling it all over the field. And so, you know, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously no one can take away the greatness of Patrick Mahomes. There's no question about that. But I also look at the pieces that the Kansas City Chiefs have, them, whether it's, you know, Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and Mecole Hardman, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They have so many weapons and so many matchup issues that even if you take Patrick Mahomes out of it, and that's a big piece of this. But I think if you get a, you know, functioning quarterback, you'll still be able to, you know, score a lot of points because of the brilliance of Andy Reid as a play caller. But Josh Allen, just, you know, his ability to make up for the lack of a running game with his leg and his playmaking ability, you take that away from the Buffalo Bills offense, I think that offense turns into something totally different on the field.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. They really need his running ability, and they're going to need that this weekend. They need to lean in on those design runs. So Josh Allen is incredibly valuable to that team, but I still think the answer is Patrick Mahomes. Like, they both became full-time starters in 2018, and Patrick Mahomes took that offense that was led by Alex Smith the year prior, and since then, or at that point, they were, I think, fourth in the league for offense, which is incredible. But since then, all the years since then, they are number one. You do the same thing for Josh Allen, and they are 22 in the league as offense. Like, what he's done this year is not what he's done his whole time there, which suggests to me that the addition that they made, that is hugely valuable, and I won't say that it's underappreciated because we're talking about it, but Stephon Diggs is the real addition there that we have to appreciate that's really helped Josh Allen. I understand he's done a lot of work on his offseason, addressing his mechanics and all that and becoming more accurate, but having Stephon Diggs has really helped. And I know you would say that Patrick Mahomes has had that all the time with Kelce and obviously with Hill and those guys and Hardman. That's true. But with that, they are the best in the league, and they've won a Super Bowl and lost in the AFC Championship game because somebody jumped offside. So it's hard to really figure out which one of them is more valuable. But I think you're right in that Josh Allen means a lot to that team. But being the best offense in the league is a little different than being the 22nd best offense in the league, which is what the Bills have been with Josh Allen. This past season, they've been in the top five. But if you put together what he's meant to that team over the whole time, they're 22nd by EPA, by efficiency. So I still think that even given the fact that that Mahomes has the benefit of having all that talent around him, he's still more valuable to that team that might be able to win without him on occasion, but they're not Super Bowl contenders without him. Not that the Bills would be without Josh Allen, but I think the difference between the Bills and Josh Allen is smaller. I mean, I think it's statistically proven out by EPA. The difference of the Bills without Josh Allen is smaller than the difference between the Chiefs without Patrick Mahomes. Now, it's very different if you talk about before and after Stephon Diggs. So he might be the real MVP candidate down there or up there.
Okay, well, Patrick Mahomes, he is still in the NFL's concussion protocol, but heading in the right direction. According to ESPN's FBI, should Mahomes play on Sunday, the Chiefs have a 61% chance to win that game.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Some powerful words right there. And as NBA players continue to use this season to push for social justice, the NBA Players Association is teaming up with The Compound to provide players with Play for Change shirts that represent how players are playing for a bigger cause. And the man here behind that bigger and amazing cause, Compound founder Set Free Richardson. Set Free, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you here with us. This cause is incredible. So I want to hear about the T-shirt and how it is symbolized for NBA players.
Totally. Thank y'all for having me this morning. The idea came for just, you know, when COVID started, the players' voices was really, it was a magnitude on the world. And then, you know, after that with George Floyd, I just wanted to be able to create something to help players to voice their opinions and their views and inspire from all the silhouettes of like the NBA logo, of, you know, the Michael Jordan logo. Silhouettes has always had a big place in basketball. So I created this with the idea of, you know, mixing the 1968 Olympics with, you know, a guy holding a ball, and teamed up with the NBPA to get the shirts out to the bubble to all the players.
I heard that you were inspired in part by a conversation on the shop between LeBron James and Barack Obama. What was it about that conversation that stuck with you?
Well, it was actually it was two sides. You know, it was so much talk going back and forth about should players not play, should they play, and then, you know, LeBron, when he had that conversation with Obama, he actually looked at it to be like, you know what, I am going to use my platform to put a message out there to, you know, let everybody know what's going on in the world of, you know, social justice.
Who are the players, the specific players that you're working with, and what have they told you about why this cause is important to them?
Totally. Like, Jay Crowder reached out and wanted to wear the shirt, got him a shirt. Donovan Mitchell, he also, and it's not always, I say it's like a working relationship. They're supporting actually the cause and the movement, not just working, but using their platform. And actually all players don't get a chance to be at the podium. So some of them, when they're not, it was really powerful to see them wearing the shirt just to speak their opinion. Jaylen Brown was wearing it in the bubble. J.R. Smith, a lot of guys just has been a part of the movement that I'm trying to create and get their voices out there.
It's really hard to imagine that there would be any player that wouldn't want to get behind this movement. And really, you're totally planning on sparking something even larger than what it is right now. So tell me about that.
Totally. As you know, I think for like basketball, the voices should be heard, not just for social justice, but, you know, for just and anything that they want to address, which could be breast cancer, just anything that can help the human race through basketball. And one of the things, the initiatives that we're looking to do this summer coming up is to stop the violence on playgrounds and all the gun violence. You know, a lot of companies always want to refurbish the courts and paint the parks over, but security is one of the big problems that we have on basketball parks and playgrounds. So that's one of the initiatives that Play for Change is going to, you know, the same way you look at a lifeguard is at the beach, we should have security and, you know, a protection at the playgrounds for the children of tomorrow.
All right. Well, cool stuff. Really awesome what you're doing here, everyone. Make sure you check out Set Free Richardson. He is the founder of The Compound, teaming up with the NBA Players Association for some really cool initiatives to push for social justice this season. So, Set Free, thank you so much for your time, and we appreciate you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Take care.
All right. All right. Well, let's move in and welcome on back. Well, before we even get to that, hello. First Take, Her Take. You are behind the eight ball. New podcast coming your way each and every week. The first episode dropped today. Features myself, Chinee Ogumike, also Kimberly Martin, who's joining the show in just a couple seconds. New episodes debuting every Wednesday, so you can listen wherever you get your podcasts. And we hope that you'll join us because we had a lot of fun recording this first episode last night. So, Kimberly, well, Damian, welcome back to you. But, you know, I got to talk to my girl, Kimberly. Kimberly, what are you most excited for as far as this podcast goes? Because last night we were chopping it up.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. Yeah, I'm excited because this is just another vehicle for us to talk and speak our mind. You know, there's no Dominique Foxworth where I have to get into an argument with. You know, it's a very chill, laid back. But listen, all three of us come from very different backgrounds, right? But sports is our passion and sports is our living. But we see it from different vantage points. And I think this is a unique opportunity for some of the people that read our stuff, watch us on TV, to get a little bit of a sneak peek at to our personalities and what we're really like off screen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it comes at the very perfect time with Kamala Harris being sworn as the first female vice president in history. So, hey,
yes,
go Chicks.
Kamala. Yes, Kamala. Yes, yes.
All right, well, yeah, now we have to turn our attention
it,
to
even
a guy
though I'm
going to
win this debate.
you
rate,
do that.
And subscribe.
You do that, but I don't know if you're going to win this debate. But okay, all right, you starting early. Okay, let me adjust my seat.
All right, guys, yeah, don't forget, first episode already dropped this morning, so you can listen wherever you get your podcast. All right, but now let's turn our attention to a man whose career has come to an end after 17 seasons, Philip Rivers, announcing that he will retire from the NFL. He played 16 seasons with the Chargers. His final season with the Colts, the 39-year-old finishing his career ranked fifth all-time with 63,440 passing yards, 421 touchdown passes. Kimberly, we're going to start with you here since we already reacted a little bit to this at the top of the show. What do you think about Philip Rivers retiring and what do you think his legacy will be?
One of a great quarterback. You know, you play 17 years, that's a long time. But when I saw this news this morning, I thought, it is time. You know, I think he was at the end of his career. He's done it all except, you know, in some big spots. But no, I think 17 years of solid QB play, very good QB play. And I thought, you know, when I saw J.J. Watt tweet, I thought it encapsulated who Philip Rivers is, the competitor and just the mastermind tactician on the field. J.J. Watt had tweeted, I'll never forget when we were lining up against Philip Rivers. And Rivers pointed to a linebacker and said, yo, you're in the wrong spot, based on the blitz that he saw. And he knew they were about to run. And Watt was like, that is so Philip Rivers. And I think that just gives us a clear indication of what kind of competitor he was. But again, we talked for years about how we're inching closer to that, the changing of the guard. You know, it's happening between Breeze, you know, Rivers, Eli's done. There's only a couple more guys of the old school. So it's a new day in the NFL.
Neek, your response? Oh, okay.
I mean,
all right, you know what?
Phillip,
since we already
I'm
heard
sorry,
from the guys on this one, let's...
Yeah, we already
actually, guys, sorry,
about that.
We're cutting you off
debate.
Right here. We already got your reactions.
I want to fight Kimberly.
Keep it moving. Yeah, no one wants to fight Kimberly. I learned that last night. All right, let's talk about Jerry Rice. Last night, he was asked which quarterback he would take all time for one game. So here's what he said. It's a whole different era, and I would go with Montana any day because he was Joe Cool, and he was in an era where he was not as protected. So you know what? This got us thinking. Nick, if you could have one quarterback all time for one game, who would you take?
Man, I think I'm going with Patrick Mahomes. I think that's the guy that we've seen him come up big in these moments. And I love Jerry Rice. He was one of my favorite players growing up, and Joe Montana was great. But he's right. He was playing in a different era, and it was harder to play quarterback in that era, harder to play offense and receiver in that era. But they were on the 49ers, and for much of their reign, it was pre-salary cap, and they had them and the Cowboys had all the talent, and nobody was going anywhere. So I don't mean this as a slight, but if you want to talk about different eras, Jerry has to take that into consideration. Like, not to take anything away from Joe Montana, but nobody could leave. They had all the best players. They just had to beat the Cowboys every year, and then in the Super Bowl, maybe knock off the Broncos or the Bills or something. It was a different, entirely different situation than the NFL that came to be after 93 and free agency really took hold and kicked in and guys were moving and you couldn't just stockpile and keep them all there and spend all the money. So I don't know, Kimberly, tell me why I'm right.
Oh, you're not going to hear me say that. You're not going to hear me say that on this show. You know, it did not even surprise me that Dominique was going to pick the new shiny toy, the young toy, the new thing, right? It did. That is so him, right? To forget about the old school. But here, let me listen. I got my receipts, okay? So the answer is Joe Montana, and here's why. Because who was Brady before Brady? Joe Montana. Did Joe Montana ever lose a Super Bowl? No. Okay. So you talk about that era and the type of teams that they had to put together. No, guys stayed forever. Okay, if the Cowboys were so loaded, who was Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes beating guys, teams that had Lawrence Taylor, Drew Pearson, Tony Dorsett? No, it was Joe Montana. Like, the idea that we have seen this man win every Super Bowl he has ever played in, and we are going to say Patrick Mahomes, no disrespect to Patrick because I think he's amazing, but I'm just going to represent for the old heads because Dominique just wants to move forward and forget about about the good guys who set the stage. So what do you think, Damien?
Kimberly, I can't even believe you guys even asking this question. We already, Dominique already heard. Dominique knows where I'm going. Kimberly, you know where I'm going.
Tattoo on his heart.
Of course.
Tattoo on his heart.
I'm going with Brady.
So typical.
Dominique talked about how Joe Montana thrived in pre-free agency. There's no question you could keep all your talent. So let's talk about post-free agency. Let's talk about free agency now, where it's hard to keep talent year after year after year. And who has dominated in this era, this in the salary cap era, more than any other player in the history of this league? Tom Brady, over 20 years. How many Super Bowls he's been to? 9, winning 6. Like, dominating the AFC East, has been in the championship game, what, 14 years? 14 years! Tom Brady has been in a championship game. So I should get up and walk off the set because what else needs to be said? Really?
Damien. One of those Super Bowls.
Listen,
you know what? Forget it. I can't even believe. Actually, I can. The fact that you would go with Tom Brady totally makes sense. And it makes sense that Dominique would totally pick Patrick Mahomes, who beat a Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers team as his QB. You know what I'm saying? No disrespect to Jimmy Garoppolo 49ers because with almost 6 minutes to go, they almost pulled it off. However, this is in defense of Joe Montana, who in all his 4 Super Bowls, his teams were outscoring opponents by 75 combined points. Like, that's not happening. You want to talk about how those teams were loaded. The man beat those loaded teams. So yes, a different era. but he still did it. Every time he needed to step up and win a Super Bowl, he won the Super Bowl. Did
that's,
he not?
I mean, that's not the great. That's not the question, though. So, like, if this is the question, the greatest of all time, then I'm going with Damian's argument because Damian has all the pelts on the wall. He has more.
Who would you choose? Who would you choose for one game? Because I can see it on the screen. Who would you choose for one game?
I know, but you and Damian are having that argument.
The guy who wins every time he's in the Super Bowl, that is my pick. That is all.
Well, I mean, I think that for one game, I choose the person who's never had a bad game and who has the higher ceiling, and that's Patrick Mahomes. So I agree. Patrick Mahomes is not the greatest. He falls behind Tom Brady. He falls behind Joe Montana. I agree. But if you're looking for someone who you know can reach heights that we have never seen before, I'm thinking Patrick Mahomes. So if anything, I'm willing to listen to the arguments that you guys are making, but you're having a different argument. You're talking
about
who's
the greatest. That is so big of you. That's so big of you to listen.
I'm willing to listen to it, but you guys are talking about the greatest. And unfortunately, you're wrong about that too, Kimberly. Like, I'm sorry. Wow. You got Charlie. I don't want to gang up on you, but you and Charlie came on here trying to stone on us because you got your new show. You got a podcast.
Don't mess with me in my pink on inauguration day, okay? Do not mess with me on inauguration day. My pink.
Patrick Mahomes has played fourth year? And you already throwing him out there
willy-nilly.
Chasing a shiny toy. You chasing a shiny toy right
tell
now.
Tell him, Damian.
I mean,
tell
come
him,
on,
Damian.
Man.
Like, thank you. Come on,
you didn't
man.
Even have, like, you don't even have a real argument. You just, Patrick Mahomes the best right now, so I'm going to just roll with that guy.
So oh my gosh, if I talked to you last week, you say who is the greatest quarterback that you've ever seen, you would have said Patrick Mahomes. Now all of a sudden you acting like I'm just going prisoner of the moment. That man been real ever since he stepped his cleats on the NFL field.
Which
y'all gonna stop
QB
disrespecting him.
All time would you want to play for you for one game when you need to win
great.
It all?
Did you? Oh. So y'all didn't watch the playoffs last year? No, y'all didn't watch the playoffs last year. Was y'all watching last year when they came back?
Yeah,
I was there. I was in the stadium.
He came back from behind three times in a row. Y'all didn't watch.
You know what? But here's the thing. Joe Montana wouldn't even be down like that, though.
Of course not. Because he had Bill Walsh in a team that was loaded with Deion Sanders, Merton Hanks, Dana Stubblefield, Ricky Waters, Roger Craig, Jerry Rice. We can keep going on and on and on. Barton, Dwight Clark. Like, I mean, it's just Hall of Famers galore. Charles Haley. Like, what do you want me to say?
Any old body could have done that. Any old body could have been sliding into that QB spot.
I'm not saying it. I'm just saying you can't take it away from Bill Walsh. Like, Bill Walsh was doing something special. This whole modern NFL passing game is built on a lot of Bill Walsh's philosophies. So let's just appreciate that he's real. That's all.
You lost.
I think some of those people were under the Steve Young era.
All right, guys, not that I expected any of you to say Dak Prescott, but get this. According to ESPN, Dak Prescott will lead the free agent market this offseason, followed by Trent Williams, Leonard Williams, Brandon Scherff, and Hunter Henry. Now, we know the Cowboys did not give Dak a long-term deal. He was hit with that franchise tag, his season, of course, ending with injury. But, Damian, where do you think that Dak should want to play next season?
The Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboys. Listen, for all the talk about the dysfunction with the Dallas Cowboys, and we've heard it year after year when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys, make no mistake about it, the Cowboys as a franchise is probably the biggest star in the National Football League. And so, yes, they had a terrible season this year. But I think when you get the right coaches in the building, which they're making some changes, and we saw what Dak Prescott meant to that team this year. Mm-hmm. You get a healthy Dak Prescott in there, we're still going to have the same conversations about the Dallas Cowboys and them being contenders in the NFC. And we all know off the field, when you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, it just means more than any other franchise in the National Football League. So, you know, you can talk smack about the Dallas Cowboys and their inability to win big games and all that stuff, but I think that it would be in his best interest to continue to play for the Dallas Cowboys.
Go ahead, Kimberly. This is my gift to you, Kimberly, because that is nonsense. I'll let you have that, and please slap that out of the park.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Please don't agree with that.
Well, you're not going to let me have anything. That's one. Two, I'm agreeing with Damian because he's 100% right. Listen, sometimes you got to dance with the person that brought you, really. And the best situation for Dak Prescott is the Dallas Cowboys, because now Jerry realizes, oh, I may have taken this kid for granted. I didn't want to give him all that money. But after what I saw this season, now, like, I get it. Like, Dak, please, come here. Like, sit down. Let's get this situation settled. Because what I saw in 2020 cannot happen again. This team, it needs some pieces. It's not, like, they do need to upgrade, right? But overall, this team is not void of talent. You put him on this team again, and provided he's healthy and it's all good, this team, like Damian said, we are talking about them in the NFC East. We are wondering, like, okay, could they win the division? Because all the pieces are there. I think what happened this year between him going down, the coaching staff, no preparation, I don't know what they were doing on defense. I think you reset with Dak. He proved how much he means to this team and this franchise. And now you've got Jerry Jones realizing, like, okay, I can't really mess around. Like, Dak does have the leverage here. And I will say, before Dominique goes off on some tangent that, you know, whatever. What other team should Dak go to? Like, right now, the teams that need QBs, that have a need for him, they're not great situations for a reason. I think the Dallas Cowboys are at least set up where he knows this franchise. This is his team, so he needs to come back and reclaim it, and they should be ready to roll.
Now I'll let you speak. So I'm the one that's going to go off on a tangent. I'm the one that's going off on a tangent when Damian's argument is a complete tangent. You think Dak Prescott played in the NFL so he can be a star? No, so that he can win. And you both just said there are big problems in Dallas. Those problems are not being solved. The first problem is that the owner and the team does not respect or appreciate you for what you have brought to them. That is a huge problem. The defense is another problem. They have failed him in the same way that Deshaun Watson's defenses have failed him. Dak Prescott has been outstanding these past two seasons as a passer carrying this offense. And that defense could not get them a short field. They could not get them any stops. They could not give them what he needed for him to be successful in this game. And Dak Prescott is underappreciated. See, I brought this up last time we talked about Dak Prescott. And y'all probably the type that was watching Boy Meets World and thought that Corey and Topanga was a good couple. Topanga was way too good for Corey, and you know it. And this situation is the same. Dak is too talented. Dak is too smart, just like Topanga. Dak is too amazing. Just because you got stuck in that rinky-dink high school and Corey was the best thing there, you don't got to stick with him. Just because you got drafted by this underachieving team, you don't got to stick there. Stop telling Dak Prescott to have low self-esteem. Believe in yourself.
Where should he go?
That is worthy. I can't answer. Y'all keep talking. Here we go. 49ers, 1. Miami Dolphins, 2. The Giants, the Jets, Washington Redskins, Washington football team. Any of these teams, like I can keep going on. Any of these teams would be better spots because they have a better situation. And you guys said the problem is the coaching. They didn't get rid of Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy coming back, y'all. He's coming back.
I'll give you that. Mike McCarthy is coming back.
So I don't understand why you guys trying to encourage my man Dak Prescott to have low self-esteem and just be like, oh, this the first group that liked me, so I'm going to stay with them. No, you are bigger than that.
No. It's now Dak understands that he has the leverage now because he's shown his value. He's shown his value to them. I don't think Jerry Jones can enter this offseason and not make it clear that Dak, you are our guy. And if he does
Too
not
late,
do
Jerry.
That. Oh, so, okay. So you want players to get a second chance, but owners can't get a second chance to come around and be enlightened and say, you know what? I done messed up. Please, please, I beg you, come back.
You asked me to name teams. I said 49ers, so you don't think that's a better situation?
You also said the Jets and the Giants. Like
okay.
What?
Okay. Let's start with the 49ers. You know, is that a better situation? Good one, Charlie. 49 is a better situation, right? Right?
They got the better coach. They got the better coach.
Yes.
Better defense, yeah. Better coach.
They got the better coach.
Okay, well.
No more Dominique. We have enough of that conversation.
Let's talk about the Texans. Not an ideal situation there. In fact, Houston has been going through it. I feel bad. We talked about this on the podcast. You all want to tune in, First Take, Her Take. Little plug right there. Guys, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter, multiple people in and around the Texans organization believe Deshaun Watson has played his last snap with the team. Dominic, do the Texans need to trade Watson ASAP?
First of all, nice job jumping in there and saving your two friends because they were getting dominated. But as for Deshaun Watson, I do think that they need to trade him because he seems serious about this, and it seems like it's irreconcilable the way that he's talking about it. He's been patient, and it seems to me that the news that's going to come out is going to make this seem a little bit worse than it's been so far. And I understand that you have the leverage to force him to stay. You don't have to trade him, so that's fine. But you know what can undercut everything that's going on in your organization? If the best player on your team, the leader of your locker room, shows up in a bad mood and doesn't like you and is not happy to be there, does not believe in the general manager, the coach, or the people or the family that owns the team. So to me, it seems like you should have thought, if you wanted to keep him, you should have thought about this years ago when you wasted some of his prime years. So it feels like it's too late. You need to get what you can and let him move on and be great elsewhere. And hopefully what you bring back is something that you can build upon.
Well, listen, I don't think they have to do anything right now. I think that with Deshaun Watson, I think the team has an opportunity, a window right now to try to sell Deshaun Watson on a vision. Nick Caserio, who's the GM, you know, obviously came from New England and partnered with Bill Belichick, has built the greatest dynasty that you know we've seen in league history. So I think right now, with all the things that's going on, and Dominique, you know this as well, we probably only heard 10% of what's really going on behind the scenes. But I think they still have a window, an opportunity to sell Deshaun Watson. Listen, this is what we're trying to do. And I think for the Houston Texans' sake, I think the owner just got to step out of the way. Because clearly what Deshaun Watson is so upset about is primarily with ownership. And I think it's going to be incumbent on Nick Caserio to really lay it out to Deshaun Watson, hey, this is what I'm trying to do. This is what I'm trying to build here. I want to collaborate with you on that, front office quarterback, kind of relationship to build the Houston Texans into a long-term winner down here. They don't have to make the move now, but time is of the essence.
Yeah, I think Damian's right in that Nick Caserio has an opportunity to say, listen, I'm new here. Whatever was happening before, that's not on me, but this is what we are going to be. This is what the Houston Texans under my leadership will be like. Now, whether Deshaun Watson will buy that, who knows? But if I'm the Texans, to me, the only sure thing in this franchise was Deshaun Watson. All you had to do was keep him. All you had to do was make him happy because he was the one sure thing when you look at this roster and you look at the leadership it's had. I don't think this relationship can be salvaged, I'll be honest. It's almost like a couple is living separately. Like they've already, it's like, yes, could they reconcile? Sure, but she done took her stuff and moved away. She's in a different residence and you're trying to reach her and she's not answering her phone. Now it's like, I don't know what she's thinking. I hope is she going to come back when OTAs kick off? Like, will Deshaun be on the field? I don't know. I guess I'll just wait and see. Like, that is not a good situation you want to have if you're trying to hit reset. And if Deshaun is not happy and there's a way that you can send him somewhere where he is free and you get some draft picks, I think it's a win-win.
All right, guys. Well, we have a lot of things to look forward to. Look, conference championship games only a few days away. Tonight we get our first look at the Big Three in Brooklyn. We'll see what happens there. Inauguration Day, new leaders in office. Ladies and gentlemen, we made it. Also, First Take, Her Take, first episode just dropped today. Subscribe wherever you can get your podcasts. And tomorrow, Max, Stephen A., and Molly are back in the house, joined by none other than the one and only Shaq. Guys, I had fun with you today. We kept it real. Lots of fun. All right, everybody, thanks for hanging with us.
All right.
This has been First Take SportsCenter, coming your way next.